Welcome to Your Expansive Self Podcast. I'm your host, Tasha Kretel. I'm a leadership and self-healing mastery coach, breathwork and meditation teacher, passionate student of life, and truth seeker. I fully believe that everything is interconnected in our world and that it's time that we talk about the deeper truths of it. My goal is to share with you all that I know within the science and the spiritual of relationships, sex, business, healing, health, and wealth, to help you understand the how and to guide you into becoming free from condition and living in your truth. We have conversation with heart leaders, solo episodes, no BS, no filters, sharing from my heart to yours with integrity, love, and wisdom. Thank you so much for pressing play today. I'm so honored and excited to have you here with me. So let's get started. Hello, my little podcast family. Holy crap, season two is on and here and running and just being what it needs to be. I can't even believe I've already launched over 40 episodes since last year. Holy shit, it's been a year. I just realized right now, it's been a year that I've had the podcast. Holy crap. There's been a lot of different changes, a lot of updates, a lot of different types of information, a lot of different types of guests. There's been a lot of really good energy, and I've met so many of you through this podcast, and you guys reached out on my Instagram and have been joining my webinars and my programs, and I'm just so grateful. Like, thank you guys so much for being here and listening to my words and my frequency and being part of the extension of my own consciousness, because that's really what it is, right? You are an extension of my consciousness. And so thank you. Thank you for being you. I am currently in Austin, Texas. I don't know if I said this on the last episode, but I basically came here after Reno and I'm staying here till about June. So this is pretty exciting because I never thought that I would, you know, temporarily live in Texas as a Canadian during a pandemic, but here we are, here I am, and it feels really good. The energy here feels clean, it feels bright, it feels vibrant. The community is absolutely amazing. I met my people so fast and it's just been so expansive, so expansive. And today, I was not even planning on launching season two anytime soon, actually. But today I just felt really called to share about something I have been observing for the last couple of days and weeks, actually, within my clients, people around me, in the collective. And I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect subject to also have an intro for the interview I have today with Lise Bourbeau, who is the author of Healing Your Five Wounds, Listen to Your Body, Your Best Friend on Earth, Ego, which is an extension of the Five Wounds book. And man, it's just like, it's crazy what I am picking up, what I'm putting pieces together in my brain, in my mind, and just again being that full observer with how I'm teaching, who I'm teaching, even on this new app called Clubhouse, which is all about audio conversations, and you can literally talk to anyone at any point, anytime. And, you know, you can easily just like coach a person or listen to people getting coached or just having conversations about like what's going on in the world right now. How are we feeling? Again, met so many beautiful people on there, like literally to the point where I'm like hopping on a call. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I'm in Austin. And then this girl literally pops in and she goes, oh my God, I'm in Austin too. Let's grab coffee tomorrow. And boom, here we go. We grab coffee the next day, made a new friend just like that. Super easy breezy. I'm a full believer that you can make these types of connections really fast, you know, whatever you believe will be. So this energy that I've been feeling a lot lately has been really interesting. There's a lot of different types of shame that is coming up. And, you know, what I've been saying is that I've been sharing this on my Instagram stories and discussing it. I've been expressing how it's very weird and also very again, interesting. It's obviously my favorite word, that shame shows up in so many ways, and it has the most intelligent mask. And therefore, it makes it really hard to even understand if it is even shame in the first place, right? Like sometimes, you know, you'll have a conversation with a person and there's some frustration there, and you would assume that the only thing there is frustration or anger. But technically, at the core of that, not every time, but, you know, certain cases, there is this shame that is attached to it, that is triggering this frustration of the shame. So we don't even think about the fact that it is that at all. And when you really think about it, if you zoom out of our world and our environments and society, especially in the Western culture, you know, shame has been the most toxic emotion that has been normalized around us and within us and amplified in so many ways. When you think about women growing up, it's like, oh, you know, if you dress this way, you're shamed. If you're too skinny, you're shamed. If you're too fat, you're shamed. If you are not fitting in, you're too shamed. You know, it's there's so many things. If you sleep with too many men, you're shamed. Like, and then men, it's like, if you're not man enough, you're shamed. If you're too emotional, you're shamed. Like, there's this massive wave of fucking shame that is just vomited on top of us. And I find it pretty ironic that out of all the lower states consciousness emotions, you know, like fear and anger and apathy and depression and guilt and shame, the lowest of the lowest, so below fear, is the emotion of shame. And I find it very ironic that we amplify this shame in our world as a norm. It's very tactical of people who want us to stay low and people who want us to not awaken, not see, not feel, not be. Huh. Okay. So what happens if we heal that shame? What happens if we allow it to come up? What happens if we allow ourselves to go in the space where we can go even deeper into our own frustration and guilt and sadness and see where the shame is in that? There's a lot, you know, and maybe you've noticed or not, but I changed actually the way that I call myself right now in terms of my work, because it's been something I've been stepping into without fully acknowledging my power in that space. And it's fearless leadership. And we have so many people who are so ready to step into their leadership roles, but they can't fully embody that because there's this unacknowledged, unhealed shame sitting in their systems. And what I find even more interesting in all of this is that shame sits in the sacral chakra, an energetic wheel in your body where is your sexual organs. And your sexual organs and this sexual area is your creative power. It is your deepest wisdom. It is the place where you are able to literally amplify the energy of self-healing, and you can spread it through your whole body. But the biggest block in that space is an emotional charge of shame. So if we can't heal the shame, if we let this be what it is or has been for a very long time, then that means that our full power is not ignited. That means our deepest wisdom is not ignited. That means our deepest creativity is not ignited. And it's waiting. It's waiting to be ignited. So as you choose to step into your leadership role, you also have to choose and make a commitment to healing that shame, whether it's from when you were 5 years old or from when you were 16. It doesn't matter. But clearing the way so that you can start showing up as this powerful leader that you know you are. And by the way, leader, we assume that a leader is somebody who like is the top of a company, owns something really big. But at the core, what a leader is, it's somebody who embodies this energy of motivation that inspires other people to go beyond what they expect themselves to do. That's an embodiment. Fearless leadership is an embodiment. It's not a doing. Oh, that felt really good to put out there. I've been wanting to say this all fucking day long. Whew, that felt really good. So on today's podcast, on top of everything I've shared so far in the last 10 minutes, we have Lise Bourbeau, this author. So that's a very French way of saying her name. I guess in English it would be Liz Bourbeau. And she is the sweetest thing ever. She's in her 80s now. And we talk about her age in the interview, but she is the author of The Five Wounds. And this book, man, oh man, that's a lot, but it's really good type of a lot. Meaning, she explains how we have five main wounds as humans, and most of us have four of them. And little bits here and there, you know, as humans, we have different triggers, different wounds, and it literally revolves around rejection, abandonment, humiliation, injustice, and betrayal. And so she talks a little bit about her journey, where she came from, that she started doing this in her 20s, and, you know, went against the norms of healing ourselves. And she's not really, like, she's known, but she's not super known. And when I found this book through my friend, and I got it, and I listened to her Audible too, and I was just tuning into that, I was like, man, I really want to interview this woman. Like, where is she? Of course, is she not from my hometown in Montreal? So when I emailed her, I was like, oh my God, of course you're in Montreal, would love to interview you. And she accepted with an open heart, and I was so happy to be able to connect with her. And I saw so much of myself in her. It was kind of freaky, but really cool to see where she's at today. And I'm like, man, that is a wise age. She is fucking cool. So on that note, I'm gonna stop talking, and I'm gonna let you guys enjoy this episode with Liz Bourbeau. And by the way, don't forget to subscribe. Hi, Lise. How are you?
Fine. And you?
Good. Thank you. I'm so happy that you gave me the opportunity to have you on my show. Like I just said before the recording, you know, a lot of people that I know in the wellness and spirituality and healing world use your book, and I'm just very inspired. And I think honestly, the biggest thing for me is that I finally had found a book that was a mix of all the things that we know, but more with like spirituality and deeper wounding and emotional healing. And there was just so many components to it that I think is lacking in the healing world. So tell us a little bit more about who you are, all the things you've done, because I'm sure you've done so many.
Many hours, because, you know, I'm not, I've been doing that. I created my school 38 years ago, and I've been in the taking courses and interested in all this spiritual and psychological work since I'm 25 years old. So that's more than 50 years ago. And it's for sure that when I first started, you know, to be interested in those workshops and books and people thought I was a little, you know, my family thought I was going to a sect or whatever. It's all you and your books and you and your ideas. And so, because I wanted to change the world, you know, when you first discovered these things, you want everybody to know about it. Because I started with the power of the subconscious mind, you know, more than 50 years ago with the as my first book. So I was kept telling them, be more positive and it will happen what you want. And they said, mind your business. We never ask you anything. So it was hard for me to just slow down and just say, okay, I'm doing this work for me, and I don't have to try to convince everybody else. But it was, I was in sales, but it helped me very much in sales, you know, this positive thinking. And, but it's when I discovered, I went to a workshop. It was 2 weekends in a row. It was by S Training in those days. And it was before, like 40 years ago. And, that's where I learned about responsibility. And I had never learned that in any book. I just, because positive thinking doesn't talk about that. To me, the positive thinking is, it's just mentally, it's not really spiritual. So it was a big discovery for me too, because in those days I had separated and I, you know, I had divorced my husband, and in my mind it was all his fault. If he had changed, everything would have been beautiful. And so when I started to really say, oh, I made that happen in my life, there was something in me that I had to learn with my husband. So it was a big eye-opener for me. And so I started to apply these things. And then I read, somebody gave me a bunch of paper, a stack of papers with the Louise Hay, and who is a big, you know, very famous metaphysician. And she didn't even have a book written then when somebody gave me that, because I was getting interested in messages you know, that our body is talking to us. Like, when I'm sick, there must be some reason. And I was starting to open, but I had never read about that anywhere. So when they gave me that, I said, oh, exactly, she thinks like me, that woman, you know, that if you have a difficulty to digest food, it means you cannot digest the person. And so I started to really go full speed with that. And that's when I had a dream that told me to, in my dream, it showed me that I should be teaching. I saw myself in front of a big crowd in a beautiful hotel with, I could see the big crystal chandelier. And you know what? 8 years after I started my school, when my first book reached 100,000 copies sold, I decided to have a big conference, a free conference for everybody. And I had 1,000 people, and that big room was full, because it was free, you know. And when I walked in the room, because I had not, me, it was one of my employees that had rented the hall and everything. When I walked into that room, it was the room of my dream. So it was,
wow.
And I had such a big emotion. I couldn't walk in because I was starting to cry. So I rushed out and I went back to the room to wipe my tears and everything. And I came back. Oh, what a moment, you know. So it was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was one of those dreams, you know, what you call that?
A premonition.
Premonition, yes.
Yeah.
And it was really a very big moment. So I went through very difficult moments in all through the years, because very big financial difficulties, because I saw too big, you know. I'm a go-getter, and as soon as I thought of something, I said, let's go. And then I was not, I would not take the time to look at all the consequences. So I had to go through, but I learned, you know, I learned to continue to have these insights and these dreams and these ideas, but then to take the time to sit and see the for and against, and, you know, say, is it a good time to do that? And so I'm a bit more than wiser now. So I've always been, since I'm a little girl, I've always been a go-getter and full of energy, and you know, when I would just dare a lot of things and do new things that other people didn't do. So I guess it was in my plan of life that, you know, I had to create this kind of a school, and even if people thought I was a little crazy, especially when I called it Listen to Your Body, you know. I would go to the store and I would be buying something for the company, and then say, what's the name of your company? Listen to Your Body. Oh, listen to me. How would you like to listen to my body, you know?
I'm sure you got so many looks, just like, what?
The name of the company. Oh my God. So anyway, but now, you know, I have people all over the world are doing promotion for me, because I read a book, and in the book, or a doctor will say to the patient, "Madame, you should start to listen to your body." You know, a lot of people use that
expression. Totally.
So they're doing publicity for my school, you know.
Totally, including me. I'm like, everybody get this book. Like, just get all the books that she has because they're amazing. But that's so, it's actually like, I'm feeling deeply connected to just the fact that you said that, like, you're such a go-getter since you were a little girl. I'm like, that's me. Like, I'm in the same space where, you know, I think for, I don't know if it's like a thing for women, but I think people like us, we see it and it's so clear. And then we're like, we have to make it happen, because how else are we gonna, like, we have to. It's not even a question of, you know, if, it's more just when. And I'm happy that you, for my own personal journey as to where I'm at right now, it's a nice little reminder to just keep going despite what people say. And yeah, I think it's just really nice to hear that right now. So thank you. And so today, I mean, like, the main subject that I would love to tune into is your book, The Five Wounds. This is, I mean, if you've never heard of it, if you're listening to this podcast, if you've never heard about this book, like, I suggest you go and buy it right now. I want to know, what was your inspiration behind, like, I mean, I know you did your studies to really put everything together, but were you given the information, as, you know, through dreams too, that did it come up from that space, or was it just like a combination of your work? How, because it's a book that has all kinds of aspects to it. It's like the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, you know, like, even the thing that pops up in my mind right now is even the rejection wound, how when they choose their bodies, when they come on this earth, they could be a lot smaller, and, you know, like, they're smaller bones or smaller area. And I was like, wow, that is so incredible. Like, how did you pick those things up?
Yeah. Well, I went to a workshop with a man that's called John Pierakos, who is now deceased. And he wrote one book only, the book on the wounds. And that's where I learned the five wounds with him. He did not use the same name, like, instead of rejection, the withdrawal, he would call them the schizo something.
Okay.
I like the name, but anyway. And my strength, I discovered I had that talent, that I read a lot. Everything interests me. I want to learn all the time. And this is why I keep teaching, because as I teach, I learn. As I say, I'm talking in a conference or I'm doing a workshop and somebody asks a question. And when I answer, I answer something I never knew before. And then I'm learning. And then as soon as I have a minute, I write it down, because I'll forget it, because it doesn't come from my mental, because I've never read it and never heard about it. But I said, oh, this is so good what I just said. I must remember. So I'm learning all the time. And so when I was doing that workshop with him, it was going in my mind, because I was already teaching. You know, I already had my school then. But I was making connections with things I already knew. And so I used that. He gave me the basis of the wounds, but I gave it the names I wanted. And I've changed many things over the years, because, like, the aspect that certain wound has been woken up, because we are born with the wounds, but it's our parents, the parents that we have chosen before we are born, that wake up this wound in the first 7 years of our life. So but me, I made the connection of being woken up by the mother or the father, you know, for each wound. I have that specialty. So this is all the things that I added to what I learned, because I have met other teachers who have done this workshop with John Pierakos. They talk about the wounds in their teaching also, but in a completely different way. So it's good, because that's evolution, you know. People I have somebody that did my workshop on the wounds, and that he's very interested in the five elements of earth, you know, fire, wood, the metal, and things. So he made an association with the wounds, with the five elements. So
beautiful.
So, you know, then when he sent that to me, he said, look what I've done with your teaching. And I think it's so good because it always evolves this way. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Totally. I think that's a good reminder for anybody who feels like they don't have something special in their own teachings. You know, like we're so unique and everybody has their own ways of teaching and learning and expanding and evolving. And it's really cool when we're able to be in that space of just honoring what we feel and just taking it all together. So let's talk about the five wounds, because I'm sure people are like, what are they talking about? Like, what are the five wounds? What is this all about? So can you tell us a little bit more about the concept of it? Like you just said, you know, we come into this lifetime with those wounds, how they show up. Just go for it. I'm just going to give you the floor.
Actually, I have realized that we all have four of the five wounds, which are rejection, abandonment, injustice, and betrayal. And everybody has those four wounds, but most of us have one or two that are bigger wounds. You know, we can just compare the wounds. Like if on my body I have five wounds in different parts of my body, let's say I have one on a big wound on my hand, another one on the leg, or whatever, and five different wounds, some are small wounds, some medium, some are bigger wounds, and they need to be healed, they need to be taken care of so we can heal it. But what we do instead as human is we try to ignore it. We don't want to see those because it hurts. So we put a big bandage over it. You know, we try to cover it. Try to cover my hand with a glove so I don't see the wound on my hand. So this is why it's our ego that stops us from seeing our wounds. And the fifth one is humiliation. So, but most of us have the four wounds, and automatically, no matter what parents we have, maybe the father will wake up one wound or two, the mother another. You know, we usually in the family, we usually have many times the same things to learn altogether, not that the parents would know. Mm-hmm. And so this is why the teaching is good. The knowing about them is good, because then, and I see, okay, now what my husband answered me, you know, he was very, very unrespectful to me when he talks to me like that. And it's because he's hurting. It's because he feels betrayed now. It's the wound that took over. And when, as soon as, like, we can have we have to make sure that we don't think that it's impossible one day not to have situations that will hurt us, because I have that question all the time. How long does it take to heal the wounds? But you will always have sometimes somebody that reject you, some people who are not fair to you, so unjust, or they betray you because they lie to you. And so we will always have that. But what we need to do is to learn to just observe it and not react. So this is why in the book I explained the difference between the wound and the mask, because as soon as I react to what it hurts and then I have a reaction, then that means that I put on my mask. So when I put on my mask, it means I don't want to see, I don't want to feel, I don't want to know that I'm hurting. I'm reacting to it. So this is why it's wearing the mask that hurts you. So because we can have let's say rejection, one of the reaction of the mask, that is called the wood drawer, I have a name for each mask, is to run away or to pretend, oh no, it's nothing, to put the, you know, the lid on it, they don't want to see it, but it hurts even if they put the lid on it. So many people deny things, no, it didn't bother me, it doesn't bother me, you know, but it's not true, we know it's not true. The person does so that's rejection, you see. So but you know, like I had a friend one day that I learned all of a sudden that my girlfriend, she had a party, a girl's party 2 weeks ago, and she didn't invite me, and I felt hurt right away. It's rejection, I felt rejected. And I said, well, gee, what's happening? So now me, I know how to deal things right away. I don't keep it inside because it's not very intelligent to continue to hurt, you know? And so, look, I just want to tell you, I feel bad because I just learned that you had a party and you didn't invite me. She says, oh, you're back in the city. I was sure you were still in Europe. I'm sorry, I never even checked. I was so positive you were still gone. So you see, it was not rejecting me, but if I had not done anything about it, then I would have continued to hurt all the time and feel rejected and then hit myself on the head, you know. So this is why it's such a big eye opener to realize that we all have those wounds. So I learned that me after my divorce from my first husband. But if I had known that with my first husband, I would have never divorced, because I would have known that when he was acting or reacting, that it's just because he was hurting. He was not telling me he didn't love me. He was just hurting. And but you know, it was plan, part of my plan in my life to learn about these things afterwards, so that I can make a difference with a husband with not knowing about the wounds, and then a husband knowing with the wounds. You see the big difference of how my relationship is completely, completely different.
So do you think that? Oh wow, I can hear myself. That's weird. Okay, I think we're okay. So do you think that in our lifetimes too, I mean, I think I know the answer, but that we continuously, if we don't take the time to deal and heal the wounds, that we will keep attracting situations, people, experiences that will keep triggering those wounds so that we can actually heal them?
Oh, definitely. If you ignore them, you don't do anything about it, you don't, because this is the only thing to deal with them is love, is acceptance. And but if we don't do that, we will all the time think that this person is lying to me, this person that doesn't like me, or I'm nothing. Nothing changes. But what's nice is that even after you know how to deal with the wound, that means you just realize that it's a person that's hurting. Or me, when I was not nice to somebody, I said something that I regret afterwards. It's not because I'm a bad person. It's just that I was suffering. I was in my wound then. I was just suffering. And that was my only reaction I knew to do. So if I have compassion for myself and I don't hit myself on the head because of that, then it means that something is happening. The wound is, the mask is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And afterwards, there will be the same situations will arrive, but you will not see it as a problem, because you've learned how to deal. Because we will always have people who reject us or are unfair sometimes, because they are hurting at that moment. Because we don't love ourselves enough that as soon as somebody is doing something, is hurting, we think they're telling us they don't love us.
Oof.
That's what it was. That's what it is right there. I think a lot of people will, I hope whoever's listening, I hope you like rewind for a second and listen to that again, because I think a lot of people, you know, assume and take things so personally, like, oh, it must be me, like I'm not enough, they don't want to be with me, they don't want to be my friend, maybe I'm not smart enough, pretty enough, like whatever it is. And at the end of it, we're just like a world with all these wounds, just like wounding, just like walking around, kind of like testing each other and like just going around in circles till we actually do the work and heal it for ourselves. And so now, can you talk a little bit more about the fact that if we keep living behind the masks, how the body will react? Because I'm sure it shows up in the body.
Oh, yes, because the mask, it means that our ego took over. If I can just observe the things, I don't like it, but I see this is happening now. It means that I have something to learn with that. Maybe I have to learn how to let go or to be more compassionate. If I don't do that, if I let the mask take over, well, then it means that your ego now took over your life. It's not you speaking with your heart. So this is why I have two books on the wounds, and I explain in detail all the different types of reaction for each wound. So because it's very hard at the beginning to know, is it rejection or abandonment or whatever, you know, that I'm going through. So you don't have to learn that. Just be aware of the reaction that you have or the reaction you see in the other person. By the reaction, you will know exactly what wound has been touched.
Interesting. And so let's say somebody has an abandonment wound. Like, do you think there's certain places in the body where the wound will show up, like maybe pain or I don't know, inflammation, whatever it is? Is there like different symptoms in the physical body according to each wound?
Yes. Well, in my book, I have written at the end of each chapter, each wound, the diseases that will happen most often with these wounds, you know, but how you will see it in your body. Because as soon as your ego takes over, it's because you're angry, you feel guilty, you are scared, you're not yourself. And this is what creates diseases. And so I have not, you know, and I have another book that talks about 500 aches and pains and diseases. And so that tells you every disease, what it means. You know, you wake up in the morning with a backache or headache, or whatever, and you look in the book and, you know, it gives you an idea of the way of thinking that is not good for you. And then when you do that, you can realize many times you can say, oh yes, well, I felt rejected, and that it will come to you, you know, which wound is touched. But sometimes if the disease is more serious, it touches more than one wound. It touches many wounds. But, and the more serious, all the diseases that are life-threatening, like cancer, or very diseases that last a long, long time that people have all their life, it's always the biggest wound that's touched is the rejection. That's the wound that hurts the most to the soul, the rejection. The examples you gave before, you know, and say, well, that's it, he does not, because I'm nothing, I'm not good enough. This is rejection. We reject ourselves, and this is what hurts your soul the most, because you're here on earth. The soul is here to go to experiment love, not push ourselves down all the time, you know. All the diseases are connected to different wounds. Yes.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's funny, because even with my clients, I see how rejection, and even with myself, like I see how rejection just plays such a big part in our lives all the time. You know, it could be the smallest thing or the biggest thing, and it's and it takes over, you know, the, and it's funny because now I'm realizing, you know, sometimes I'll post on my social media, I'm like, what do you think is your biggest block right now? And I get a lot of messages of the same stuff of like, I'm not good enough or my self-worth. And I think it becomes like a story that people again attach to. And then they're like, oh, you know, I can't heal because my self-worth is crap. And it's like, well, I think maybe your self-worth is a symptom of you rejecting yourself and feeling rejected of other people. And I have noticed that too, that even for me, like I don't have digestion issues, but sometimes I can feel like my body doesn't absorb the nutrients as well as it could. And then I'm like, I don't think I'm fed by the right people. Like, I don't think I can fully absorb the energies around me appropriately. And then I can feel my body rejecting itself. And I'm like, wow, that's so interesting how these types of wounds, you know, show up. And then when there's one that's like good and clear, or, you know, a little bit more loved and harmonized, then another one will show up. And it's like, okay, like, let's look at that. It's like this continuous flow. Yes. of constantly acknowledging, accepting, loving, and giving it permission to be there and not fight it. Because I think so many of us are just like, ah, why is this here? And we don't want it anymore. So we're like, let's do all the things just so that I can get rid of it, which is the opposite of healing.
Yeah, but that's because that's why the wound of injustice is closely related to the wound of rejection, because the rejection is, I am nothing, it's on that. But the injustice is more related to what I do. I have to do perfect everything. I have to have a beautiful body, and I must do everything perfectly. So we think that if we are so perfect, we will not be rejected, you know? So the two, everything you go through with yourself is injustice and rejection, but it's the rejection that hurts the most. And then when what you go through with this opposite sex is abandonment and betrayal.
Interesting. And then there's also humiliation that plays a
with yourself all the time also. Yeah, humiliation is you have to be a good person. The humiliation is very different from the other four because it's people who are deeply spiritual, down deep. They want this always, like they have the eye of God watching them. They have to be so good all the time. Think of everybody else and at the service of everybody. And a woman could be serving everybody in the family, but because she wants to be the perfect mother, you see, that's not humiliation. Then, see, you see, you have to see that. But the humiliation, the motivation is it goes from down deep. It's like some superior entity that's up there watching that person, and that she has to be worthy of being a good person, you know. So that's
that's really interesting. And I think, like, just the thought, I don't think a lot of people realize that this is a thing, but like you said at the beginning, you know, we choose our body before we come, we choose our wounds before we come. Can you dive a little bit deeper into that? Because I can like wonder if people are curious about what that means. Maybe some of them don't know.
Well, when you're in the soul world, it's like between the two lives. You look over your past life, and you can see everything that's left to do. You can clearly see all the fears that are still not solved, everything that's not solved, the power of the ego and everything. You can see all that, and you can feel it. And then with the help of your guide, you know, your guide, you decide, okay, my next life, I'm going to go and work on this, 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 and this, you know, like you make a plan. We all have a plan. So in order to to respect that plan, then we need to, maybe we need to be born in Africa or, you know, whatever country, and we need to be a woman or a man or more sexual or whatever, or maybe you have a killing instinct or whatever you need. In order to complete that plan, there's really something that you decide before you are born. So when you are born, okay, you know, you have a plan, but unfortunately, a lot of people do not follow their plan because they forget who they are. They get taken over by the ego and they continue things that they have done. And this is why it hurts so much, because when somebody has a problem since they're very little and they say, I just can't get over that problem, and it goes on and on, then you know for a fact that this soul has had the same problem for many lifetimes. This is why it's so hard for that person to be able to reverse it, to see the life differently in that area. Some people, it's because of their wound, their weight, for example. Other people is they're always sick. Other people are always they always choose a partner that beats them up, or you know what? If it's something that really makes your life miserable, it's because you've been coming back for many lifetimes, and then you're getting the message that now you're coming back again because you have to do something about it. You have to start taking your responsibility. You have to start having a different approach to the situation, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And I think that can feel a little scary for people because they're like, I don't know where to start. I don't even know how to go about things. Where do I, you know, take charge? How can I shift them? Because obviously if people knew that there was another way, they would probably do it, right? And most of them don't know what they don't know. So what would your advice be, I guess, for somebody who's maybe hearing this and they're going, holy crap, like this is me. Obviously getting your book is like number one, but where would it, you know, lead into? What could they do to start maybe accepting themselves a little bit more? What is there a process that you have that you suggest?
Yeah, well, the first thing is that person has to decide, I want to do something about it. I decide to that it has to come from me. If I cannot continue to wait until somebody else changes around me, I cannot wait when the circumstances are better, then I'll do this. This doesn't work like that. Because until you decide, nothing will ever change. If you decide, I want to pick up, and I know so many people have told me, you know, one day I woke up in the morning and I said, now this is it. Now I don't want to live like this anymore. I have to do something about it. The same day, they go in the store shopping, and then they see this bookstore and they walk it just like that. And then they see my little pink book, you know, they said, I see that little pink book that says to me, buy me. And they said, I buy this little pink book and I come home and I find all my answers in it. You know, the day that she decided that they want to do something about it, that it will come to you. Somebody will give you an advice. You will meet a person. You will read the book. The day you decide, you will attract what you need. We are always creating our life. Always, always.
Totally.
And this is why my specialty is really to give all kinds of practical ways of applying this in your life. Because I remember, like I told you, I was very young with my first husband, with young children, when I started to attend workshops and everything. And I would read books about the love yourself and love other people and all about love. But I did not know how to do that. And I would come home after a weekend seminar and I would walk in the house. And my house was, when you walk in, there's the opening for the kitchen right in front there. And I would see dishes all over the place. My husband had cooked food for the children, but everything was laying there, even nothing but was put in the fridge. And he's laying upstairs in bed watching a movie. And so I walk in the house like that. It's about 7 o'clock at night. And I say, what's happening? Where are the kids? I don't know. You know, they were, what, 4 or 5 years old? I don't know. I wanted to kill him, you know? And I just, for 2 days of listening about all about the love, and but I had no practical, what do I do when I'm so angry, I want to kill my husband. And so but this is why I give all kinds of very practical things to do when you live those situations. So
are those practicalities in the 5 wound books? It's another book.
In every one of my books. But I suggest strongly to read the Listen to Your Body one, the first one, because that's where I talk in general in life there. And it's in the wounds. Well, it's practical ways also for the wound. But in every one of my books, I make it.
Talk I about it.
You know, to just give those ways, because that's how I finally learned how to do it for myself.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're willing and open to maybe discussing a little bit about it, but what were some of your biggest wounds in this lifetime mm-hmm. for you, and how did it shift with your using your own work?
Well, my biggest wounds were injustice and betrayal, because I'm a leader. You know, I've always been leading at school, everywhere. Like I'm more an organizer, and I like to run things. You know, so I'm a good controller. So you need. So usually, all the heads of businesses and everything, they know a big. They all have this injustice, so to be perfect, and they betray, so you have control of things. And so these were my two biggest ones that I could see in my body also, because the body tells you about the way you are. Huh? And I remember for many, many years, because the betrayal, we see it in a woman with the hips are good, wider hips. And I always had, when I would buy clothes, the bottom part, I always had, if I had 12 on the top, I had 14 at the bottom. You know, I had to get my bigger, larger clothes for the bottom. And then as I started to work on my wounds, my body changed. And then now for a long time, now it's all even, you know, I never have to. So many things, many parts of my bodies have changed. And so I have watched that over the years with people. It's not everybody that we can see definite changes in their body, but as we work on ourselves, usually there are some changes. You know, like I had my breast. I had one breast that was almost double the size of the other one,
and oh, wow. Worked,
you know, the had to put a
which
pad.
Side.
So it was the right one was bigger than
okay.
The left. And so it's as I started my way of being a mother was different, you see, because this is our mother. It's so amazing. Me, I'm in awe of the intelligence of the creation of the human body, of nature, everything, because it's so intelligent, you know. And so it's we can see a lot of changes in our relationships too. It's everything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's like, yeah. You know, we're so magnetic, we don't even see it, but we're constantly attracting, we're constantly creating, we're constantly in that space where we're co-creating with the universe. It's just a definite. And you know, anybody, I hear a lot about manifesting too, you know, like, oh, I'm not a really good manifester. I'm like, you are constantly manifesting, by the way, you know, you're constantly attracting, constantly creating. But now that you've kind of seen the evolution of, I guess, our society, do you think Do you think that we have some, I know we have four main wounds, but do you see a lot more of one or two or four, I guess, now more than ever? Because I feel like there's an energetic shift in our world and things are changing and people are changing. And I can sense that like the wounding is different from what it used to be. What do you think about what's going on, you know, around us?
Well, I teach in many countries and I find that there are some countries that have certain wounds are more visible than others. But actually, you know, as I learned that we all have four wounds, let's say I was working on being my part that was very rigid and controlling. But as I was doing that, I was working unconsciously on my rejection and my abandonment wound that are hidden behind those two strong ones, because the rejection and is more visible on the outside, but injustice and betrayal. But the person that has a big rejection wound is more withdrawn and, you know, you don't see that person much in a group of people, you know, so they go through everything inside of them. But the danger of seeing mostly our injustice and betrayal wound is that we are hiding the fact that we are rejecting ourselves and abandoning other people also. And it took me a long, long time before I started to even be aware and started to feel the rejection in me. I was, because the injustice and betrayal are the two powerful wounds, or the, you know, strength. And with my power, I never saw that when I was really angry at somebody, with my first husband, for example, I thought it was just betrayed. But actually it was my fear of being abandoned that was hurting the most, that was making, that was activating me to have such a reaction of there, because you cannot separate the two. So that's why when you start to feel and see those two hidden wounds, then you know that you are recovering even better and faster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, for some reason, like what's popping up in my mind is the emotion guilt? What is that? Is there like specific emotions that's like associated to specific wounds? I'm assuming yes.
No. Not because really. Everybody will feel guilty. The difference is that if the guilt comes from rejection or injustice, I feel guilty about what I did. And then if about face to myself, let's say if I eat too much, but I feel guilty, I'm gonna get fat, I'm gonna get sick, you know, this or more injustice or rejection. But if I feel guilty towards somebody else, I shouldn't have said that, that's abandonment or betrayal. So it's
interesting. Yeah. Wow, there's a lot for people to explore here. Yeah. So basically, guys, get all the books, get on it, because I feel like it's never ending, the work. It's good.
I want to add that at the beginning, like, this book has to be read two or three times before you start to assimilate it, because there is so much information in the book. And don't try to because this is our wound of injustice that wants to do it perfectly. Okay, now please tell me which wound should I start with. Come on, forget that. You know, all day at work, some people touch certain wounds at home, other wounds. I mean, it's there all the time. So just to learn to be aware of what you're going through, try to accept it, see the suffering in yourself, feel the suffering, that you're a suffering person, that's why you act like that when other people like that, just because they're suffering, they're not bad, they don't want to hurt you. And just do that, even if you don't know what wound it is. Don't try to do it perfectly, because this is mental, you know.
Totally. And so tell us a little bit more about the other book you were showing me, the ego one.
Yes, the second book is called The Ego, The Greatest Obstacle to Healing the Five Wounds. And so I wrote that one many years after, about 10, 15 years after the first one. And so I have more information, but I suggest to read the first one before they read the second one, the one just on the five wounds.
Okay, so there's Listen to Your Body, Five Wounds, The Ego. Is there anything else that you have that you would suggest?
The ones on the, let me see.
This is what I have. Wow. You have like such a beautiful library of books. I'm in awe.
Just listen to your body. It's stop trying to control your weight. So this is for people this is for people who want, they think they have to go on a diet. So how to know yourself with the way you eat without going on the diet. Just learn the way you eat for knowing yourself. And I give many tricks with that. So,
that's amazing.
This is what I did that the year before I started my school, because I had gained about 20 pounds. It was after that I had the message for starting my school. So just I would share that. And this one, your body is telling you love yourself. This is the one that I have 500 this aches and pains.
Wow.
It's all in alphabetical order, so they can easily. One on cancer.
Beautiful.
So what's in that book is to help understand and deal with people who are close to us who have cancer, or prevent cancer, or understand your own cancer, and it applies to all important diseases also. So this is one about the wounds.
Yes.
The first one is green, green and orange. The two
green and orange.
The first one to listen to your body is pink. That's it. So I have five altogether, six books in English. I have 26 in French.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. So, because I actually have a lot of French listeners. So, guys, if you want to look at more of Lisa's books, you know, look it up for sure. I'm assuming they can buy them online, right?
Oh, yes, very easily. Yes, yeah. Beautiful. The last one that came out this year is How to Gain in Age While Having Lots of Energy.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm assuming that's you, right? Lots of energy.
Yeah, well, this is all my secrets. The people kept asking me, gee, you don't gain age. You don't get older. You look younger all the time. And so
sharing your secrets. I love it.
You know my age, don't you?
I don't.
No. I will be 80 years old in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. Please. You look amazing, I have to say. And I am just, honestly, I have to share that I'm like, right now, my heart feels really nice and you're very inspiring. And I don't say that often, not because I don't think of people in a good way, but just because your story, you know, little bits and pieces of just going after what you feel is right and writing these books and being in your sovereignty and your integrity, it's just something that I think we really need more of. And I see a lot of younger people kind of like, you know, just like myself, getting into this work and doing this work, and it's just, I can so see myself within you, and it's just really nice. It's really nice as a beautiful confirmation. So thank you.
We also have now more English teaching, because I did not have English trainers before, but and it's online. So, and it's a young man who is so good, the trainer. And he does conferences and he does workshops in English. So it's just go on our website, Listen to Your Body, and you'll have all the information for that.
That's beautiful. I'm going to put all your details in the show notes so everybody can get it. But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to being here with me for an hour of your day. It's been a gift. I'm so excited. I'm going to, honestly, right now I'm going to buy more of your books because I'm feeling called to it. So I'm going to go and do it. Is there any?
And I'm sure that you will go a long way in this area.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we hop off the call?
No, just add that right now we're going through a very bad situation, a difficult situation all over the planet. And we are getting a big, big message that it's time that humanity decides to live differently. And we cannot continue the same way now that the earth is not able to take anymore. So we are getting lots of help in the invisible world also, not only with different books or teaching, but we are getting, and it's up to us to open to that help and in order to change our life, change our way of living and living more in peace and joy and happiness. And but as I said before, you just have to decide. I decide that I want to find a way. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know who will help me, but I want to better the quality of my life, and I know that it has to come from me. That's all we have to do to start with.
Beautiful. So simple, so loving. It can be that way. Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Lise, for your time and your energy. And I'm excited to post this up. I'm going to send you all the links. I'm going to send it to you when it's up and running. But yeah, I wish you a beautiful day. And I'm going to go check out your website and see what there is.
Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you. You as well. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh my goodness, isn't she like the cutest little thing ever? I had such a good time just listening to her and feeling her energy and connecting with her. And it's just been a really big blessing to have the ability to even have a conversation and an interview with someone like her. I was just in awe. And even just listening to this recording again, you know, a month later, I'm like, oh my God, this was so cute. So I'm reminding you guys, and I'm inviting you guys to look into this book and her teachings and see what you can get out of this. You know, don't forget to share this with a friend, a family member, somebody who's just tapping into their growth, you know, starting to get questions and exploring their own discovery and transformation in this realm. So thank you guys so much for listening to me and her today. It has been such a pleasure. And don't forget to also subscribe, send this to a friend, share it on your social media, leave a review, a heart-centered, heartfelt review. I love these. This is the main way that I'm able to continuously reach different types of people so that we can start spreading the message and helping more people day after day after day. So you guys are so supportive and I can't thank you guys enough. And I'm so excited for season 2 of Your Expansive Self. There's going to be so many amazing guests on. I know it already. And we're going to tap into some deep, really powerful leadership conversations with, you know, business owners, millionaires, those who have understood the game of money and consciously. This is all intentional work. This is not just like how to get rich. It's not talking about that at all. It's about leading consciously and creating businesses consciously and, you know, doing the inner work to be able to get there. So love you guys so much, and I will see you on the next podcast episode.